I'm joined in studio right now by Chloe Doucette. She's the managing director at the Museum of Idaho, and also Jim Francis, who is an Idaho Falls City Council member. And you two wrote an MLK Reader's Theater. It's called Choices, Facing Injustices and MLK's Messages for Humanity. This is going to be an incredible opportunity for our community to come together. And tell us when those performances are.
Yeah, so we are performing one of the performances at the Museum of Idaho at 7 p.m. tomorrow. That's Saturday, January 18th. Is that right? Yes. And then January 19th on Sunday at the Community Food Basket on 14th Street. Do you remember the exact address of that, Jim?
No, but I know where Poitevin Park is, and it's right next to Poitevin Park.
Very good. And that one's at 3 p.m., right?
Yes.
Have we done that right? And yeah, we're very excited to be a part of this. Jim and I have been longtime collaborators. I was very, very lucky to be a student of Jim's when he was a teacher at Idaho Falls High School and then at ISU again, actually. And so he instilled a love of history in me, and that has sort of led me to this career in museums. And I'm very lucky to continue to work with Jim on historical pursuits like this. And we were able to involve some very talented young actors, as well as Mosey from The Heart in this production. And we are just excited to perform it and hope that everybody enjoys. So please come and join us either Saturday or Sunday at the museum or at the Community Food Basket.
And this is going to be a great opportunity for our community to gather together and focus on the power of one. And Jim, as you and I were chatting earlier, this Reader's Theater really is an example of the power of one. And you indicated that the inspiration from this actually came from last night's keynote speaker at the 18th annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. banquet, Dr. Pete Miller. Share with us how that evolved.
Dr. Miller did a Zoom call with the leaders of the African American Alliance weeks ago, before this has even started. And he was just exploring what the Alliance was interested in hearing in themes. And he raised several themes that we built this play on. So one of them is the power of one, and I'll come back to that if you remind me. And another one is he talked about always the country and individuals have faced choices. You decide whether you're going on this side of the road or that side of the road or this fork in the road or this. And it's true for the country and it's true for individuals. And he emphasized that so well and talked about how he had made choices. And he spoke about that last night in his life going forward from that tragic event of the murder of Emmett Till in 1955, which he showed the photograph. He was in the same room with Emmett Till. And it's almost like this was one direction that happened, this murder of a teenager. And then, like Dr. Miller said, taking almost an inspiration of, okay, I'm gonna do something different. I'm going to be a scholar in the high school. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to go to West Point. And making choices again and again that brought him to eventually Deputy Secretary of Energy. And it was just a very impressive speech. And when he did his call with us, it inspired us to write this. That's where the title comes from, Choices.
And how timely, as we really are at kind of that fork in the road where we are embarking on a new start with the inauguration happening on Monday, and a lot of people thinking about where we've been, where we are, and most importantly, where we hope to go. Chloe, what would you like people to walk away from this with?
Yeah, so I think you make a really good point about that. The other thing that we're sort of on the eve of is the 250th anniversary of America's founding, right, 1776. And I think it's a great opportunity to reflect back not just on like what those principles were in the beginning, but how they've evolved and how Americans have transformed and lived up to those ideals in different ways, and sometimes how we haven't always lived up to those ideals. And I think what I would like people to walk away with is this idea of the power of democracy, right? The power of individual people to make an impact on their community, on the nation, and ultimately on the shape of history, right? Where we go from here, what happens in the next 250 years. And so with Martin Luther King Day happening, obviously, this upcoming Monday, I think that's a really wonderful setting, I think, for this play, because it gives us an opportunity to really think about what big changes were made, you know, in the 1960s and late 1950s that have built us into this country as we are now, too.
I love that, looking forward. And to me, it's kind of ironic that MLK Day happens to just fall on the day of the inauguration. And I think it does give us an opportunity to look at those two events and to take some positives from that. I love, Chloe, that you brought up, we have to face all of it. It's much easier to face the victories, but to really get honest with some of the uglier chapters, that's hard to do. But no doubt, Jim, we cannot hope to make progress unless we find the courage to bring those things right out into the open.
Right, and not to wait for Congress or city council people to work out life, liberty, pursuit of happiness for everybody. It's individual actions that create it. And I think that's what the power of one really means. And my easy example is when we call people names or label them, we're not using equality. When we stop doing that, we've recognized everyone's equality because we don't name them. We don't label them. And it's a very simple thing to do. It's called civility.
Right.
But that's a way of saying in my actions every day, I could be an exerciser of equality for all people.
Right. It is those small and simple choices that make such a huge difference. Chloe, tell us a little bit about those participating in this Reader's Theater.
Yeah, so I mentioned we have some really talented young actors who are participating with us. I'm going to have to remember all of their names. They're all on our program. Eliana, Spider, AJ, and Mads. And I don't have their last names memorized.
That's okay.
So I'm
going
to have to read through. Yeah. But they're all high school students, and they all are history scholars in their own right, really. It's been such a joy to be able to work with them. And Jim and I collaborated also, you know, asked them for their input on, as they saw the script, what changes they would want to make. And they made content suggestions and changes to us that we felt like were very valuable. And so they really have brought a wonderful magic to this. And in addition, on Saturday, we're really lucky to be able to have a small choir that's going to be joining us too, because part of the civil rights movement in particular is music, right? When you think of that time in history, you think of the music that inspired and that brought people together and continued to, you know, empower them to move forward and keep at their work. And so some of those songs will also be performed, and we're very lucky to have those people joining us.
Music is so powerful, and I love that these young people are having an opportunity to weigh in, and you know that's just going to be a driving force in their future. Jim, what would you like people to know most